In June of 2023, there was a whole lot of Jeopardy fans that were quite disappointed with what they had just seen on TV. The question was, I'm not sure what the category was, but the players, Joe, Lara, and Suresh, could not give the answer to fill in the blank on this question. Matthew 6:9 says, "Our Father which art in heaven, blank be thy name." None of the three contestants even tried, and then that caused things to blow up on social media. Now, we all know, most of us would guess anyway, that "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now, the word "hallowed" is not necessarily a word that we use a lot in our English today, so the CSB has translated just a little bit. So take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to pick up in verse number 9. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll pick up in verse number 9. Jesus says, "Therefore, you should pray like this: Our Father in heaven..." We would say "hallowed" for those of us who grew up in a King James or New King James. The new translation is, "Your name be honored as holy." And that's what the word "hallowed" means. It means to have this honor and reverence for a name that esteems this name in holiness. It is a name of revering, a name of respect. "Your name be honored as holy." He goes on, verse 10, "Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And with that, let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. And Lord, just challenge us again, fresh and new today, with how you call us to be people of prayer and people of living your word faithfully, and of people who share your word. In your name I pray, amen. Jesus, in his first recorded sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, gives us the Lord's Prayer. It is to be used as a model. This prayer is not something just to be mindlessly and heartlessly recited in rote, like, "I know this, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." It is not meant to be just something that we pray to administer grace, or we just say the words like a good luck charm. Instead, Jesus has actually given us a model to follow. He teaches us in the first two words, "our Father," the picture of God being our Father. We recognized last week that our Father is inviting, that he invites us into his presence. In Isaiah 55:6, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near." Call upon him. Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me and I will answer you." So there is this sense in which God invites us into his presence to pray. We call to him. But God is not only an inviting Father, he is also an intimate Father. He is intimate and allows us to call him Father as in the sense of daddy. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 17, Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, it tells us that once we receive the Holy Spirit, we come to know Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit, we can go to God and call him Abba, daddy. It's a term of endearment. It is a term of closeness. It is a term of heart that a child, a loving child, has for his loving father. We can go and call him Abba, Father, and we know that he loves us. He sent his son because he loves us. His love, the Bible tells us, is immeasurable. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love toward those who fear him. His love is immeasurable for us. So he invites us into his presence, and he is a warm, loving Father. But it doesn't stop there. It says, "Our Father in heaven," or "which art in heaven." We get the picture here of the infinite God, that our God not only is inviting us into his presence, he's not only intimate with us, but he is also infinite. Our God rules and reigns. Psalm 115:3 says that our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Revelation 19:7 tells us that the Lord God omnipotent reigns. He is large and in charge of everything. So once we establish our relationship with God, then we are invited to take the next step and understand the first prayer request. This is the first request, and this request obviously sets a priority for us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or your name be honored as holy. Now, for us, as we think about our life as believers, believers' lives, our life should be about honoring God. The believer's life, as we think of the prayer lesson for this week, and it goes beyond prayer, that believers' lives are to bring honor to God. That's the heartbeat of what we're talking about. That in our praying, in our living, that we are seeking to bring honor to God. It is not just we come in, we say this prayer, and we feel like, hey, I've gotten God off my back for the week. No, honoring God is something that we do all the time. I think it starts in our prayer life because that's where Jesus starts. But then it extends beyond the prayer closet to right where we live in our practical living. So this morning, I want to give you three challenges as we think about honoring God's name, honoring God's holy name. So as we think about that, believers, we honor God's name by first praying faithfully. We honor God's name by praying faithfully. Jesus here is inviting us to pray. Over in Matthew chapter 7 in verse number 7, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. He says over in John chapter 14 in verse number 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So it starts, I think, in our faithful praying. Now, as we think about praying, we need some foundation to the God that we pray to. And I think the foundation of going to God in prayer is knowing God personally. Do you want to thrive in your prayer life? Then first, you need to come to know God. You need to open your Bible and hear from God. You need to see how God has moved in the Old Testament and how God has sent his Son in the New Testament. You need to see the dynamic power of God as he opens the Red Sea or as he opens the Jordan River or as God, as he speaks silently in a whisper to Elijah. We understand the power and the presence of God as we come to know him. One of the ways and great ways I think we come to know God is through his names. The name Jehovah. If you look in your English Bible in the Old Testament and you see the word Lord and all the letters are in capitals, okay? They may be small font, but they're all in capitals. That is the word Jehovah. That is the covenant name of God. And the covenant name of God is that covenant that he made with Israel. That I will be your God and you will be my people. And I will show you love and I will provide for you. And I will take care of you. And when you need it, I will discipline you. That's the picture of that kind of love. But then along with the Jehovah covenant name of God, there are other names that are added to that. In Genesis chapter 22, Abraham is told to take his son Isaac, his only son who he loves, and take him up to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice. And he does that willingly. And he gets all the way to the point of sacrifice and has Isaac laying on the altar, and he's ready to take the knife because he believes that God could even bring Isaac back from the dead, Hebrews 11 tells us. But as the knife is raised up, the Lord stops him and has a ram caught in the thicket. And he takes the ram and he sacrifices sacrifices the ram. And he calls that place and how the Lord worked Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Now, Abraham was already very wealthy. He had a lot. But in this one instance, he came to know God intimately and deeply as the God who will absolutely meet my needs in time of crisis. That's the God that we pray to. That's the God that we need to know. That's the God that when we cry out to the one who sits enthroned in heaven, that's the kind of God that we have. Exodus chapter 15. We find that the children of Israel are in the wilderness and there is no good water. They're at a place called Marah. It's bitter water. And they take a branch and they throw that into the water. And as they throw that into the water becomes clean. And then the Lord speaks and he says this, "Hey, Israel, I've just touched this water and made it well. But let me tell you something. If you'll follow me and you'll obey me, then you won't experience any sickness. Instead, I will show myself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals." Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 26, Jehovah Rapha, the covenant name along with the healing name of the Lord. This morning, we think about those who are sick, and there have been many times I have stood in hospital rooms or alongside of folks who are sick, and I pray and cry out to the name Jehovah Rapha. Let me tell you, doctors can do what doctors can do, but ultimate healing comes from the Lord. And so we cry out to Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And sometimes he heals physically on this earth, and sometimes there's an eternal healing and he takes us to heaven, but we know Jehovah Rapha works. In Exodus chapter 17, the children of Israel, as they're moving along, are attacked by the Amalekites. And you remember this? Moses is told to take and hold his staff up in the air, and Aaron and Hur come along either side and help to hold that up. And Joshua is down in the valley, and he's battling. And as long as Moses has his arms in the air, and there in Exodus chapter 17 and verse number 15, God is called Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. He is the standard. As Moses held up that staff, that banner, that standard in the air, it reminded them of the power and the presence and the moving of God. And so that when that standard, that banner was held in the air, can I tell you, we're all in spiritual battle. Don't try to fight on your own. You're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age. And you need Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner, the power and presence of God to work in your life. You need to know God personally. Know his names. Exodus chapter 17, 15. He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. In Judges chapter 6 and verse number 24, there is Gideon is there. And Gideon is hiding out from the Midianites because they are oppressing God's people, the Israelites at that time. And as he's oppressing the Israelites, the Lord comes to him and says, "Gideon, I've got work for you to do. I've got this plan for you." And there Gideon makes an offering and a sacrifice, and the Lord works in his life. And he calls, Judges 6:24, he calls the Lord Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. He's in a crisis. The Lord's calling him to stand up against the Midianites. He is going to go and he's going to begin to tear down the temples, the idols in Israel. And then is going to stand up and go against the Midianites. But first, God has to work in his heart and life and bring him peace. Can I tell you today, there is a God. He is the God of peace. And the God of peace works in our heart and life and gives us peace as we're in the challenge and as we face the challenges of our life. His name is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. And we love the picture of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23:1, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. Know him. Notice the picture of how the shepherd works. The Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters, and he restores my soul and leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Why? Because thou art with me. Can I tell you, the Lord is such a great shepherd. You don't have to face a test alone. You don't have to go into an operating room alone. You don't have to face a crisis alone. You don't have to walk through trouble alone. The Lord, our shepherd, we don't have to fear. He's with us. And maybe my favorite picture of the Jehovah names of God is in Ezekiel 48:35, where his name is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. We got to get to know God. If we're gonna take this step and build on who God is and build a prayer life, we've got to know God so that we know God personally, so that we can trust God completely. We trust him completely. When I know who he is, Lord, I've got a crisis over here, and the Lord's my peace. Lord, I've got a need over here, and the Lord is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Lord, there's a sickness here, and he is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Lord, I feel so alone as I walk through this valley, and the Lord says, fear not, for I am here. Psalm 56 and verse number 3 says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. When I'm afraid. Psalm 62, trust in him at all times, you my peoples. That's the picture. Trust him. We know him so that we can trust him. Many of you love Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. He'll show himself to be that good shepherd. The problem is you've got to be a submissive sheep, and the shepherd will lead. We know God personally, we trust God completely. Then we pray to God fervently. We pray because we know who he is and how he answers. And because we trust him, then we pray to him. Listen, we're not praying to some wishy-washy deity up here that we don't have any knowledge of. No, man, we are stepping into the presence of the Almighty God. We lift our eyes to the hills and know that our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So James 5:16 tells us that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So take whatever needs you have. You know God, trust him and pray to him. And then praise God continually. Praise him. Once you know who he is, once you see God at work, you trust him, you pray to him, you leave your requests at his feet, casting all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. We trust him. We understand who he is. And then as God moves, we pray. We rejoice in the Lord always. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We rejoice in him. We praise God continually. We praise his name. Psalm 103 in verse number 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We bless his name. God, we bless you. Lord, even as I pray and I'm lifting up this request and I don't know what the answer is, and Lord, I'm in a crisis, I know who you are and I trust you and I pray with fervency, and God, I praise because I know that you are a God who answers prayer. Honor God's name through praying faithfully. Praying faithfully. I read a story recently, actually this past week, and it was quite an interesting story. Talk about prayers. There's a tourist named Ivan, and he was at one of the beaches in Greece. And while he was on this beach in Greece and out in the ocean, many of you have been to the ocean, you know those currents can get strong, and the current began to pull him away and pulled him away from the rest of his friends, and they ran to go get the Coast Guard, and he was swept out to sea. But while he was swept out to sea, this happened in July of 2022, he was found 18 hours later. But the interesting part was he was found clinging to a small child's soccer ball. Any of you familiar with the movie Castaway, where Tom Hanks had the volleyball? Well, he had the child-size soccer ball that he was holding on to for all of these hours. This made national headlines in Greece. And when they showed a picture of the ball, there was a mother who saw that and shared that her son had lost that soccer ball some 80 miles away. Can I tell you, out in the middle of our deepest crisis, out in the valley of our deepest hurt, God can answer prayer. He is faithful. When you have needs, call to Jehovah Jireh. When you have sickness, call to Jehovah Rapha. When you're in battle, call to Jehovah Nissi. When you feel alone, call to Jehovah Shammah. When you need God's direction, call for Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. Honor God's name through praying faithfully. Secondly, we not only honor God's name through praying faithfully, but we honor God's name by living faithfully. By living faithfully. This is not just a prayer for the moment. This is not just a come to church kind of thing. Lord, may your name be honored as holy at church. No, the picture is God, may your name be honored as holy all the time and through my life. Lord, may your name be honored in my life. God, I look at my life. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name. Did you know if you're a believer today, you're called by his name and you stand as a human representative of God? Acts chapter 11 and verse number 26, they were first called Christians at Antioch. If you call yourself a Christian today, then you stand as a representative of Christ. Let that sink in for a minute. That as people look at my life, what should they see? They should see God at work. They should see Christ at work. They should see the character of God in me. They should see faithfulness in me. They should see love and joy and peace in me. They should see a steadfast confidence in me. The picture is hallowing God's name is not just something we do at church or in our prayer closet. It's something that we do all of the time. We do it all the time. So I love the way Paul shares it in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 31, he challenges us that whether we eat or we drink or whatever we do, we are to do that to the glory of God. So here's the challenge for us as believers as we think of 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Do you want to hallow God's name? Well, do everything that you do, do it for the glory of God. And if there's anything you can't do for the glory of God, don't do it. Don't do it. If you can't watch that to the glory of God, if you can't say that to the glory of God, if you can't talk like that to the glory of God, then don't do it. God's name be hallowed. And God's name is hallowed as we do everything for the glory of God. But then Paul uses two verses in Colossians. He uses Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 17 to say this. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So here it tells us that we're not only just to do everything to the glory of God, but do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means how I go to school and how I talk at school. And when there's a test and a pop quiz, and even though I'm not going to do well on it, I'm not going to look on someone else's paper, because everything I do, I want to do in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I would rather fail with him than succeed without him. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do everything to the glory of God. And then in Colossians 3:23, it says this. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people. Whatever you do, do it as to the Lord. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do everything for the Lord. Victoria Lindsay is a nurse. She was in the military, stepped out of the military, and she became a nurse. And not just a nurse, but she began to work with heart transplant patients. And as she was working with heart transplant patients, it says that she was talking to a man named Ken. And she's giving him the pre-heart transplant coaching, challenging speech. And this is what she says. She says, hey, you need to be making lifestyle changes. There are lifestyle changes that need to take place. You need to take care of yourself. You need to be dealing with controlling your diabetes, and you need to be making sure that you're getting exercise, and you need to make sure that you're doing the things that need to be done. And then she says, and some people, once they even get the heart transplant, they quit taking their anti-rejection medicines. Listen, you need to make sure that you're going to take care of yourself and that you are going to respect. And then she says this, you do realize that someone died for you, right? That the heart could have gone to anyone a little healthier or even a little younger, someone who could have done something worth their life, but it has been given to you. You see that picture? Take care of yourself. Look at that heart. Someone died for you. I will tell us as believers, take a good look at your life. Don't you know someone died for you? You're just going to live the way the world lives. Don't you know someone died for you? Jesus died for you. You're going to continue in that lifestyle of sinfulness? Someone died for you. You're not going to change that and deal with that spiritual stronghold in your life. You're not willing to say and submit to the Lord. Don't you know someone died for you? There's the challenge. Someone died for you. It needs to change your life so that you do everything to the glory of God. You ever do everything in the name of the Lord, and you do everything as to the Lord. Honor God's name. Pray faithfully. Live faithfully. Third, honor God's name by sharing faithfully. Sharing faithfully. Share. Share Jesus faithfully. Share the message of God faithfully. It honors God when we have the honor to share him with others. We do that because we love him and we love them. And we do that because we want to honor him and we want our friends, our family to honor him. We want the world to grow in honoring him. Now, the Bible tells us in Philippians 2 that one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But how much better would it be for them to do that now? How much more vital is it for them to do that now? Before they get cast away from the presence of the Lord forever, how much more important is it for us to tell them now? Honor him by sharing faithfully. Sharing faithfully. Today, some of you will go to lunch, and I wonder, how will you act when the service is slow? Will you have a nice tip or a word of encouragement or a word of Christ or even just a little track to drop and to show concern for someone who needs to know Jesus? In the 1980s, I know that's a really long time ago, and many of you weren't even here yet, but there was a song that Steve Green used to sing and said this, "You're the only Jesus some will ever see. You're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. Because you're the only Jesus some will ever see." You know what Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored as holy. Jesus can be seen through a life like that. And with that, let's pray. If you're here today and you don't know for certain that you know Jesus, you say he's talked a lot about praying, and here's the foundational truth. The Bible says that all of us have sinned, and because of our sin, we're separated from God forever. Unless we trust Jesus Christ alone as the only one who died on the cross to take the penalty or the punishment for our sin. And he rose again from the dead and now offers us the free gift of salvation. If you've never trusted Jesus today, that's a number one decision that you need to make. Many of you are believers today. And if the coat of our spiritual life was taken off today, some of us would have to recognize we're not really hallowing God's name. I mean, we've put our smile and we put our clothes on today and we're in church. But ultimately, through our praying, through our living, through our sharing, we're not honoring God's name. And for some of you, today's a day the Lord, out of his grace and love, is speaking to you and saying, look, I'm your Father in heaven. I love you. I'm there for you. I'm your provider. I'm your banner, your protector, your strength. I am your peace. I am your shepherd. I am with you. Won't you live to honor me? If God's speaking to you, maybe some of you need to come and just take a moment and pray. Get your heart right with the Lord. If the Lord's speaking to you, would you say yes to him? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would move. God, that you would draw us to yourself, and Lord, that we would seek to live to bring honor and glory to your name. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen.